I'm Sandy Rodriguez, your program session chair here. We're going to get started with our first presentation. I'm going to try to hold questions till the end. We might run into the break a little bit, but we're going to try to prevent that. Of course, you can always come speak to the presenters afterward or during the break. The first presentation we have is Trey Burney, Danielle Miracle, and Jason Cavari was unable to attend. Trey Burney is the multimedia specialist for Cornell University Library. He handles the setup, maintenance, and workflow of Cornell Library's audiovisual digitization lab. He has an extensive background in audio engineering and post-production for television and film. He was an assistant mastering engineer for several years and worked on projects for clients like Dolly Parton and Corrosion of Conformity, as well as a large collection of field recordings now at the Smithsonian Institution. And Danielle is the director for the Digital Media Group at Cornell University Library. In addition to managing the digitization unit for CUL, she serves as project manager for many of the university's grant projects. Currently, she is heading up a campus-wide initiative to survey university-held AV assets with an eye towards long-term preservation. She has conducted numerous digitization and preservation workshops and presented papers at Digital Library Federation, ALA, and the National Archives of Peru. Previously, she worked as the primary photographer for New York Public Library's digital unit. Danielle Miracle holds an MFA from Syracuse University and has taught photography at a number of institutions, including Alfred University and Ithaca College.
Thank you. Is this working? Okay, excellent. So Trey and I are going to actually kind of banter back and forth rather than a real formal presentation. Good morning. Thanks for coming. Today we're going to talk about preserving some unique Indonesian field recordings that we hold at the Music Library at Cornell. But first, I actually am going to just give a brief history of AV at Cornell. Cornell's a bit of a unique institution in the sense that the digitization operation is actually a cost recovery unit. So building a program for digitizing AV assets has been sort of a really gradual process. It started in 2005. We did a project with a faculty member to digitize a lot of film holdings of a particular filmmaker out of Germany. And then it's just kind of grown from there. We now have Kaltura for campus-wide streaming of assets, and that was in 2009. We got a large grant, a faculty grant actually in 2010 to digitize a large holding of VHS tapes from the Experimental Television Center in Owego. It's a pretty seminal collection of experimental video art. And at that point, that was our opportunity to start to build out actually in-house digitization services, and we worked closely with AVPS. They were fantastic in helping us really maintain a budget, a very small budget, to build out the operation. Since then, we've hired Trey, which has been just fantastic. And we are finally getting some grants within the institution to really focus on audio-video preservation. And this is actually coming out of our collection development fund. So I just kind of, based on some of the conversations I had yesterday, and a lot of people who are dealing with funding issues and trying to build a program, I thought it might be useful to share this information in terms of how we've gone about it. But without further ado, we'll sort of dive into this particular collection, the Archive of Field Recordings. And
what should we talk? Marty Hatch is a music professor emeritus, retired a few years ago from the music department. But he taught within the music department as well as the Southeast Asian Studies department. He's sort of the thrust behind Gamelan ending up at Cornell. He came from Wesleyan University, which had a ethnomusicology's focused tradition there, and Gamelan specifically. They actually bought a Gamelan and hired a crew of people from Central Java to come and teach communal music there. And Marty preferred communal music over virtuosic music. He didn't really have any interest in that. He liked people. Thanks, George.
So this collection has always been a teaching collection, and so part of our digitization effort is really going to make it broadly accessible for classroom use and other things. I'll talk more about that on the delivery side. But
talk about the actual film?
Sure. Yeah, 210 reels of quarter-inch tape. Most of it was recorded by people who were doing commercial recording as well as documentalist-type recording for teaching. Marty specifically got to Indonesia and after about a year decided, you know, I'm going to place these microphones where people can learn the phrasing of a particular instrument within the gamelan. So some of the recordings are really uneven, which is a bit of an issue, but let's see here.
Yeah, so I mean, they date from mostly 75 to 77. There's a smaller subset that's actually slightly different content, more ritualistic content from the area. But they do really capture a wide range of genres, and so everything from really informal things to very formal ceremonial type of events. So it's a pretty wide and deep collection, and I think for the scholar in this arena, it'll be really a useful collection to be able to engage with. And I guess one of the things that Marty really emphasized was sort of the changes in performance practice between older and younger generations, and it was sort of a really important period of time for that shift that was happening, and a lot of that's really represented in this collection.
Now, as far as preserving quarter-inch tape, this has been very dreamy. Mm-hmm. As I was talking to Mike Casey earlier, he said it's really nice to have happy stories. Mm-hmm. This was all stored within the music library, not specifically to spec, but very, very stable for a long time. So we had that, and we had, of course, the original curator at hand, which you don't always get. So this was kind of a dreamy thing to start with, and as far as me starting at Cornell, this was like cake. This is amazing.
Right.
Of course, it's not going to be that way in probably a year after we wrap up trying to get a hold of our collections, but
yeah.
For here, it was not bad.
Good. The metadata was, Marty was a real great data keeper. So he had all of this originally in a binder, which we actually did digitize, and I'll show you what that looks like. Pretty extensive sort of information in here about the tape, the contents, the players, all of that. And fortunately, we didn't have to do this. We did scan it, and we have it available. But Marty and one of his colleagues had actually migrated all of this information to a FileMaker database. And so what we did was actually take all that information out of FileMaker, and we are now pushing it into our cataloging tool, which is Shared Shelf. Let me get back to our presentation. We pushed it all in here, and this is just enabling us. This is a cataloging tool that's web-based, and so it enables us to leverage the graduate students and the professor. They can get in there and really clean up the data, look at it. You can do a lot of batch editing. And although it's not really the delivery mechanism that we will likely use for this collection because it's more sort of still art-oriented, and to be honest, Shared Shelf isn't great for delivering audio and video assets. It's not bad. It can do it. But it's a really kind of spectacular cataloging tool that we're using for a lot of our collections right now. So you can get a sense of what's in there. I'm going to get back to my PowerPoint here. But there's a lot of descriptive information, a lot about the creators, the dates, the format, the genre, duration, sort of contents. We've got a graduate student who's now working on that. There is still some information in the binders that wasn't actually migrated in, so they're going through and sort of comparing against the original binders and against some of the original, boxes and stuff like that. Trey, you're...
Of course, translation might be an issue with that stuff, too. I mean, we're embedding some basic technical metadata in the Bex chunk, just like most recommended.
And what we'll do with all of this ultimately is, of course, bundle it all together and push it into XML for ingest into our archival repository. We're still sort of in the depths of describing right now and trying to clean up the data. As Trey alluded to, the language is going to be an interesting thing because it's not English-based. The funding for this project, we had some seed funds actually from Marty himself, just $2,000 to do the initial 30 tapes, and it was really fantastic because we've got really gifted colleagues at the Lab of Ornithology who availed their studios to us to start this because we hadn't actually built the capacity in the library yet. We have now. But so Trey actually went over there and trained with some real top-notch engineers on this project, and it was a lot of fun.
They're a fantastic resource, which you should, I mean, if you're not familiar with the Macaulay Library of Natural Sound, highly recommend visiting them and going through their catalog of everything.
But then we got additional funding through, as I was alluding to, these preservation grants that are now coming out of our collection development funds. It's about $35,000 to digitize the rest of it and actually to make it available also to a broader audience. And so we're developing out a website and things like that. We're still kind of working through the campus-wide initiative, but this is sort of a first step towards, you know, broader collaborative efforts across the institution, working with the experts that are already there. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit.
Well, I think one of the biggest things that I wanted to point out was the collaborative effort between both the unit libraries on campus, which proved to be integral to this project. Not only that, but being able to pull together those technical resources into a sort of a central AV, which, you know, is based on the AV charter that Danielle's put together over the last two years.
It's been a while.
Those guys have been working with tape. There's some real tape hounds over there. Archivists have been working with quarter-inch natural recordings for, you know, 30 years at this point. And they can, you know, it's really amazing the sort of brain power over there with that stuff. Got a little techie, sorry about this part. But the lab technical workflow, they are committed to using SoundBlade, which we decided, well, based on budget reasons and metadata reasons, WaveLab made a lot more sense for us, and it was scalable. But those guys have a storehouse of amazing analog equipment, from parabolic mics to, you know, old Nagra machines. So having them and their workflow as sort of just a nice imprint to start with was fantastic, which led to ours.
Mm-hmm.
So basically about the same. Mm-hmm. Talked to Benchmark at AES this fall about the components, between the difference in the components of the new version of their preamp, and it's basically the same according to the designers, except for the resistors going out. But
so on the delivery side, though, we're planning a more contextual website, and this is often how we work in the library. We'll have our content living in repositories, whether it's ArtStore or Kaltura or our institutional repository, which is based on DSpace. And then we'll sort of build something on top. I'll give you a few examples just so you can kind of see what we're planning with this. We actually haven't started to build this one out in particular yet. But so this was the first site that we ever did, which was the Müller-Kluge site, and it just basically gives you that contextual information. In this case, this is video content. We did a lot of sort of metadata work on this. It was really a functional site. We segmented it out and give some descriptive information about it. And it's likely that we will do a similar treatment with this if there's really specific information that we want to convey or that Marty wants to convey about each of these pieces. It really often depends on the level of effort that the collaborating professor is willing to give. Oh, it's playing. Oh, thanks. I'm like, where is that music coming from? Thank you. Well, it's nice,
the
at cue. Least. Exactly.
He's playing, yeah.
It's the cue, exactly. It's the cue, it's time.
Go to thank yous.
Right, exactly. This is another one we just built out, which is actually more lecture-type material, but you can get in here, and it's a similar kind of model, wherein there's sort of the about the speaker. This one actually doesn't have anything tethered to it. But again, so likely this will be Kaltura on the back end, and we'll sort of integrate it into the sort of more contextual website. We actually are working with integrating ArtStore and Kaltura so that they work together. So you can deliver content out of ArtStore, but it's all the delivery, the streaming's all coming out of Kaltura. And we actually have the technology in place now to do that. The benefit of that is that we actually maintain the servers for all our Kaltura content, so we're not paying a premium. We're not paying ArtStore's premium, we're not paying Kaltura's premium, but we can pull from our storage and use their delivery methods for getting content out there. But again, the nice thing about this collection is it's open access. There is no IP issues to it. Marty owns the copyright, so we're really going to be able to make this broadly accessible, and we'll probably do some kind of faceted searching on the content so that somebody can come in and browse and have a lot of discovering access to this material.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to play the piece?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see. And we do have a piece to play. It's quite lovely.
It's a straight transfer. We haven't done any production side work for delivery yet, but the...
Trey, it's a quick time, right?
Yeah.
Right, there we go. Why is it? Where'd it go?
Oh, it's buried in the bottom there.
Oh, sorry. Let's see. There it is.
So you can really achieve a certain level of enlightenment working on that for weeks and weeks. So the tonal phrasing just sort of gets stuck in your head. It's really, it lives with you.
And Trey, you're almost through with digitizing it, right?
I have about 30 tapes left before I return to my normal human body.
At which point, pretty soon, we'll probably launch the site later this summer. So stay tuned. If there's any questions, feel free to ask at the end of the session. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.